Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, and we're preaching here yet again, on the very reality that God has given us three commands. And those three commands sum up all of the scriptures, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we turn our lives to this truth, we find the reality of transformation happening to us, not because it has to, but because we are willing to submit to that very reality in the love of God. Amen, church? Because God does not force himself upon us, but God loves us so much that he allows us to choose. And as we choose rightly, he humbly enters in. The God of the universe, the one who has created it all, and he makes all things new in Jesus' holy name. Today, we're talking about this reality that we are to be living as the Heart of Christ Church, and we're still in the midst of our checkup. How are we doing? You all doing okay? All right? Are you getting good reports from the doctor? Are you getting good check marks here? You know, you're checking off all the boxes. How's your cholesterol? Okay? You know, how's your sugar? How's your sugar? Is your liver functioning well? Yeah, you all know what I'm talking about. Well, we're going to the great physician because we need him to check us to see, are we loving the way God wants us to love God? Are we loving our neighbors as we're to love ourselves? And are we going with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because as we can answer each of these questions to the different portions that are here given to us in these simple commands, the reality is the better off we will be and the better we will do in this world. Because how many of you know this world comes at you? Whether you want it to or not, it's coming at you. And you got to deal with it. You know, you all hear me say this from time to time, suck it up, cupcake, because you know it's coming. But the reality is you don't have to go it alone. God is here with us. And God has placed the church here to be part of that very reality. We are the hands of God reaching out one to another. Amen? We are the very heart of God reaching out one to another that we may walk hand in hand with people who are willing to love us in spite of ourselves. And we better love them in spite of themselves, which means what? We're all screwed up. I don't know anybody that's perfect except one. And we put him on a cross, and he took it for our sake. And in that, we need to help one another. We're told to bear one another's burdens. And today, we're going to look at a little bit of just what that means, because there's one command in here that we've been talking about with the first five, because we're on number six, okay? We are on the sixth installation. And I told you all last week, what are we going to be looking at today? What does biblical love look like? What is biblical love? Because we're told to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And then we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, I think we better understand what biblical love is if we're supposed to do this, don't you? Because we're not talking about the way the world loves. We're not talking about self-love, because that's generally how the world loves. It's self-love. And if the world loves you, it's loving you for a reason back. Do you ever notice that? Because if you don't fulfill whatever their reason is, they don't love you anymore. And that is very true. But God continues to love us even when we mess up. And he wants us to love one another because he knows we're all going to mess up. So in that, I need to think about, well, what kind of love is this? Well, you know, the Bible talks about four different types of love. There are four different types of love in the Bible. Three of them are more so expressed than the one. And those three are eros love, which is physical love, as in the love between a husband and a wife. Then there is philos love, which from we get the word Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. In other words, the way you would love a friend, the way you would love an acquaintance, the way you would love someone out there in the world. And the third and most important, the one we are going to be speaking of today, is agape. Agape is selfless love. Agape is unconditional love. When we use agape love, we are seeking to give ourselves away. That's why the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. We are to give ourselves to God as God has given himself to us. Now, who gets the better deal on that? I'll guarantee you we get the better deal on that. But then God also says that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to agape our neighbors as ourselves. Let me ask you, how many of you love yourself? And if you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Because I know who you are. You're a human being. And we all love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We do what we need. When you're hungry, you get something to eat. When you're thirsty, you get something to drink. When you're mad, you get even. That made some of you smile. We're all there. We know this love. But God wants us to use that same type of love where we do things for others. I want you to think about that. What does that mean? That if we love our neighbors as ourselves, we feed ourselves, we care for ourselves, we provide for ourselves, and we protect ourselves. We're also supposed to do that to others. We're also supposed to show that very love that God gives us towards our heart, towards our mind, towards our soul, and towards our strength, towards others. So we are to love with agape love. Not Philadelphia love, not Eros love, and not the third one, which I cannot pronounce. It's Stojige or something like that. I didn't want to announce that one because I cannot pronounce that word. But that type of love is the type of love between a parent and a child. Now, guess what? Are we God's children? Like I said, I hated to use that word, but I have to, because it's the type of love that God shows towards us. It's understanding love. It's love that says, yeah, I know you're going to screw up. Just listen to me and do what I tell you, and you'll be okay. How many of us did that with our kids? How many of us tried to do that with our spouses and with people around us? And do they listen? Wrong chicken. Okay? But God wants us to understand that kind of love wrapped in agape love, unconditional love. Because even if we have love that a parent would love with, that love comes with discipline, doesn't it? But when it's unconditional love, that simply means you can mess up as many times as you're going to mess up and you're going to keep coming back. And we all know that type of love, don't we? Because we truly have tried to express it to our children. But we also know it because we've received it from God. And as we think about that and we understand that God wants us to love, not the way the world loves. The world loves selfishly. The world is filled with self-love. And do you know the Bible doesn't have a word for that? Of the four words for love, none of them are self-love. None of them. Or self-love. Do you know why? Because self-love actually turns into self-loathing. Self-love turns into self-loathing because you have rejected the design of God in your life. Therefore, it's unbiblical. That's why it's not in the Bible. Because self-love takes you out of the presence of God. I want you to think about that. Look at our world. You know, we come up with the term selfies in our world, right? What is that? We're showing our love for ourselves. Look at me. It's all about me. But then when we really start to look at ourselves, do we really like who we are? No, we'll lie to ourselves and tell ourselves, you know, and we're getting ready. We're going to go out on a prayer walk today, and we're going to talk to a lot of people and knock on doors, and we're going to ask them, how are you doing? You know, we're here. We're your local church. We'd like to pray for you. And what are they going to tell us, Brother Mitch?
We're good.
We're good. I'm fine. Yeah. Do you know what the word fine means? It's an acronym. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. But we are to be people of faith. Okay, we're not supposed to be fine. We are to be people of faith. Do you know faith is an acronym? Brother Bobby taught me this some time ago. Faith means forsaking all, I take him. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Forsaking all, I take him. Because when we take on the heart of Christ, ooh, is there a reason for our name as a church? When we take on faith, all of a sudden we are taking on agape love. We are saying, I want this. I want to be this. That's what our name means. When you look at our insignia, I mean, this is about as close as we can get to it. I mean, I love this pulpit because it shows who we are. The heart, the blue heart. Oh, it's up. Yeah, there we go. The blue heart. What? Why blue? Why not red? Blue because of the holiness. Jesus Christ is holy and fully God. And look at the very center of it. The very center of it is a pinpoint of white light, because that expresses the purity of God coming out into the blue, which is the royalty of his heart, going out into the world. The God of eternity has covered us. And the God of eternity in his love bore the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us, and then he sent the power of the Spirit of God into our lives. Do you see it? You know, there is symbolism everywhere. And when we created this, it was amazing what God spoke to us in who we are and what we are. And I don't care if you don't belong to the Heart of Christ Church. If you belong to Jesus Christ, this is the bottom line. Hence, why depart from it? So therefore we are the Heart of Christ, because we are to be agape, reaching out into our world. And that's hard to do because our world rejects us. Our world comes at us. Our world wants that self-love, and you got to love me on my conditions. But Jesus says, no, you need to love me on my conditions, because there is life. Is that really what he says? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I'm going to have you read something with me that you're going to look at and say, well, this doesn't talk about that when you first get there, but I'm going to challenge you. Just the way you know God challenges your pastor, I think I'm probably one of the most mentally challenging people you'll ever meet. Yeah, I said that, Root. Luke 18. We're going to be in 18 through 25. I knew she would laugh when I said that. My wife just sits over there and says, yes, you are. Luke 18, 18. May we read the word of the Lord, and thus saith the Lord, from 18 and 18. A ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. Now we look at that, and I'm sure you've heard teachings on that, and you know, I've taught on that. Because Jesus here was using a story, something that happened in real life, to teach us a very real principle. But I want you to look at the principle that he is truly setting up here. Here this rich young ruler comes to him, and he has everything as far as life is concerned. He's got the power. He's got the success. He's got the money. He's got it all, right? But he realizes he's lacking one thing. What is he lacking? Eternal life. How do I get to eternal life? Because we're all chiming after that next thing, that next thing, that next thing. But the question is, what is the last thing we all end up with? And how do we overcome that one thing? It's called death. And you and I can't overcome it. How do we succeed in reaching that place? We succeed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus here was telling this very young man that very truth, that very reality. Because this young man wanted the truth. And Jesus said to him, okay, you're already obeying the law. What did I tell you about the first command? Love God, love others, and go. All three commands, they wrap up all the scriptures, right? So every command is wrapped up in that. So when we think about what Jesus here is telling him, okay, you're doing that. Now you need to do this. What's the next thing he asked him to do? He asked him to give up everything worldly and accept the spiritual position that the Father would give him. And then he said to him something very key. He said, and come and follow me. He said, you need to choose the things of this world or the things of God. And come and follow me. In other words, he wanted a relationship with him. You see, you and I need to understand agape begins not with self-love, but with loving God first and then taking that love out to loving others. And that's exactly what Jesus here is explaining to this young man. It's what he's explaining to each and every one of us. We've got to give up all this other stuff. It's called selfless, unconditional love. We've got to give up all this other stuff, choose God. And if we choose God and follow Him, we will have a relationship with Him that will change us. And that relationship is truly, truly changing to the core. Because in Matthew 6 and 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We cannot serve both God and this world. Because you're going to love the one and hate the other. That word there, love, is the word agape. Because you're going to love the one, you're going to agape the one and despise the other. How many of us agape money, power, position? Yeah, I hate to say it, but we do. That's sin. How many of us are sinners? Yeah, my hand's still in the air. Because that's the human condition. That's where Jesus found this rich young man. He thought he had everything, but the reality was he had nothing. Because none of the stuff of this world is going to last unto eternity. And that's what Jesus was telling him. The only thing that's going to last to eternity is to give that stuff all up and come follow me. Have a relationship with me. And that relationship, I will give you everything. You will get everything. It will all be given back to you. Does it really say that? Let me read what he told Peter later, because Peter said to him, behold, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers, parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life. You see, God's got us covered. That when we agape Him, when we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and then we begin to love others because that's what that teaches us. And we can then go because we will go. That is loving others. That's going. We have it all because we have Him. And He is love. Does not the Scripture say that? God is love. Yeah, we're going to see that here in just a little bit. Because as we walk in that truth and in that reality, we can then give, live, and love as Jesus did and does. What does that look like? You know, there's one little Scripture. There's many places where it's pointed out. But there's one little Scripture that tells us just what that means. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Galatians. To the book of Galatians. We're going to be in chapter 2. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to be in verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And here the Apostle Paul is talking to the Galatian church because there are some problems in Galatia. You know, and I want you all to realize something. You do realize that, you know, we have a holy Bible, right? It is a holy Bible. It is God's word unto life. But do you realize every time that a letter is written, there was a problem? This book was not written in a vacuum. There was a problem. And guess who the problem was? Us. And God is talking to us, okay? And here in the midst of this problem, Paul says there's an answer. Here's the answer from verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you understand that? It is no longer I who live. When we walk in this true form of love, when we give ourselves to love, that we can love God, love others, and go, there we find life. There we find hope. There we find that which will bring us through all the processes that are going to get us to the end and take us to eternal life. And guess what? We get a little bit of that on this side of the grave, I think Jesus told us there in the book of Luke. Yes, we serve a God of delayed gratification, but he gives us enough ice cream along the way to keep us going. Maybe for you it's chocolate cake. I don't know. But I'm talking about the good things of life, and we all have them. But are we focusing on those things, or are we focusing on all the bad stuff? I'm tired of focusing on the bad stuff. Devil be gone from me. Amen. It's time to focus on the good stuff. Man, it's a beautiful day out there. Holy cow, it's hot, and isn't it glorious? You know, I think it's funny. In the wintertime, we want it hot. In the summertime, we want it cold. In the spring, we want it dry. And in the fall, we want it warm. You know, we're never satisfied. But in Christ Jesus, we can find that place of what? Peace. Woo! How many of you are in turmoil in this world? How many of you out there are finding yourself, you know, I used to have color in my hair. Yeah, it was dark. Now it's just white. It's been bleached out from age and time and circumstance and all of you. I'm looking out at Miss Teresa because her hair is whiter than me, and she's got the biggest laugh going right now. She's like, oh, preach it, Pastor, preach it. Oh, my. We got to laugh, don't we, Miss Teresa? Because even now, in your years, one of our seasoned citizens, God is good. And all the time. Amen. Because he is there for us. And he agapes us. He loves us unconditionally. You can screw up so many times. And he will just keep giving. Now, does that mean there won't be consequence? No, we all know there is consequence in life. Because we need to remember, you know, when we choose something, we've got to be ready to accept the consequences of our choices. Because God does not spare us from the consequences. God has spared us from the curse through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And when we live that kind of life, we begin to understand just how much God wants us to live that life unto others. Because now together, you know, when we started today, you know, we started with that beautiful song, This Is the Place. And then we passed the peace. And y'all looked at me crazy because it's been a while since we passed the peace. And once you got onto what was going on, then I couldn't get you to stop. I talked for 4 minutes to get you back in your chairs. Because that's the church of Jesus Christ. Once we realize, oh, it's okay to do this thing called church, we don't want to stop. Why? Because we get so filled with the love of God from one another that we can't stop. And that's what God wants you to realize. That's getting it here and now. Because you can't stop loving each other, no matter what comes at you. Whether it's your health, whether it's your mind, I'll guarantee you, the hardest thing to deal with is your own mind sometimes. Can I get an amen from the church? It's a horrible place to live. Ask me about it. But yet, I don't live there alone because God is there with me, and God has given you to me and me to you, and I hope that's as much of a blessing to you as it is to me. And if it's not, tell me about it and I'll work on it. And that's the awesome part about it, is we can tell one another when we're disappointed with one another. And we don't have to fault and grumble and, you know, run away. We can talk and we can still love each other. How many of you people got upset with your kids and disciplined them and sent them to their room and never spoke to them again? No, that's not what we do. And that's not what God does, and that's not what we're to do with one another. But how many times have we seen people walk out the door because their expectations weren't met properly? Well, let me tell you something. If you find the perfect church, you can't join it because you'll ruin it. And that's the truth. We're all screwed up. And God loves us anyhow. And the amazing thing is, and I think it's funny, I can talk to each and every one of you individually. I won't point anybody out in public. I know where you're screwed up. And how many of you know where I'm screwed up? Y'all can raise your hands. Nobody's daring to raise their hand because the preacher's talking. You all know where I'm screwed up. Every one of you talk about it at the dinner table. Can you believe he said that? Yeah. Because none of us are perfect, but we serve one who is. And when we love one another the way God loves us, love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? We cover one another. We care for one another. We walk with one another. Does the scripture actually say that? Do you know how many one another's there are in the scripture? Do you know it's over 150 one another's? Over 150. But God talks to us in a very real way about what I'm talking about. This is our last scripture for the day. Turn to the book of 1 John. Turn to the book of 1 John. First John, we're going to begin in chapter 4. We're going to begin in chapter 4, beginning in the fourth verse. God is talking to us from the Apostle John. This is a direct letter to the church. It's to you, it's to me, and it's God reasoning with us and letting us know a truth right from his heart. So in that, may we walk therein. From verse 4 in chapter 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us so, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love you, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the verdict that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Dear brethren, when I read these words and when I start putting them into practice, what does it mean? I have to come down to the very differentiation between love of this world and the love of God, the agape love that he is asking us to give. And I'm going to take you all the way back to where we started to prove it. You see, love is not a warm and fuzzy feeling. That's part of Eros love. It is a part, a very small part of Eros love. But all love involves one very key thing. It's called choice. You must choose to give yourself. It is your choice. And once you have chosen it, then it is to choose it at every inkling, at every moment of every day, of every hour, of every minute, and of every second. It is a choice of life or death. How do I know this? Because what did God say to the young rich ruler? That he was to come and follow him, that he was to come and make this relationship with him. And he told us that you cannot serve both God and money. Serving someone, serving something is a choice. You make it your God. You choose it. You don't serve something because you have to. Oh, but I have to because it's my job. You chose the job. True love involves free will. Free will means choosing. And God, from before the foundations of the earth, chose all of us. The question I leave you with this day, and the question that will bring your salvation full and complete, is this: do you choose Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you. For Lord, when we truly understand the power of what you've asked us in these three little commands, to love you, love others, and go really comes down to a choice. Do we choose you and thereby find eternity and wholeness, or do we choose the world, receive a little now, and death forever? Lord, I pray that we would all choose wisely, for this world will come against us, but this world is temporary. You are eternal. May we choose Jesus, who is the Christ, and may you walk with us now and forevermore. Love us, Lord, and teach us to love you. In your holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.